This is Ethan Winterovich, sales agronomist with CHS Ag Services at Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Jamie Dickman here in the studio. We'll also be hearing a report from Don Wick at the Ag Views Live conference hosted by Bell Bank in Fargo. But first, we begin with Harvest Hotline. Harvest Hotline is sponsored by the North Dakota Mill, Amity Technology, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and U.S. Custom Harvesters. Winter wheat harvest is picking up in Oneida, South Dakota. Bradbury Ventures owner Kevin Bradbury says they had some weather slowing things down, but the harvest is coming along nicely.
Yeah, rain and just high humidity and cloudy every day. It come on late, so it's not like a wet spring or nothing. The quality's still pretty good. So we got some really high protein and 60 bushel wheat. I mean, it's pretty good.
Bradbury says they'll be sticking around Oneida for spring wheat harvest before heading further north.
Spring wheat, same place, and then north. Everything, whether it be flowers, corn, soybeans, they all look pretty good, at least in this area.
Custom Harvesters making their way through Montana as pulse crop harvest ramps up in the northern plains. Stefano Schmidt recently moving his crew to Havre, Montana, and says they're seeing solid yields.
We've got some, I think we were reading anything up to like 30 bushel an acre lentils here lately. So, we're really pleased with what we're seeing.
Before arriving in Havre, Schmidt was harvesting in Colorado, where conditions were also favorable.
Colorado seemed really good for us. I think we were hitting anything from a 50 bushel crop down there and upwards. So, Colorado seemed really good.
Next stop for Schmidt and his crew is the Williston and Crosby area in North Dakota as harvest rolls northward. Harvest Hotline, sponsored by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, North Dakota Mill, and U.S. Custom Harvesters.
Severe thunderstorms are expected to develop this afternoon with a higher risk this evening and overnight. Large hail up to the size of ping pong balls and damaging winds up to 60 miles per hour are the main threats. An isolated tornado is also possible. Another round of storms is expected tomorrow afternoon into the overnight hours, bringing the potential for even stronger winds, larger hail, and a few tornadoes. The stormy weather will likely continue through Wednesday, with highs in the upper 70s to low 80s, rainfall totals reaching 1 to 3 inches in some areas. A break arrives Thursday with clear skies and highs in the low 80s. Another round of rain could move in late Friday into Saturday, keeping temperatures in the mid 80s with partly sunny skies. Updated end on rainfall totals for today. Steerum in southeast North Dakota, just under 2 inches. Edgeley in southeast North Dakota, 1 1/18 inches. Beardsley in west central Minnesota, 1 4/100. Rugby in north central North Dakota, 0.74 inch. Wadena in west central Minnesota, 0.38 inch. And Langdon, North Dakota, 0.34 inch.
The National Weather Service Climate Prediction Center is out with its outlook for the fall season. There is a slightly increased likelihood for above normal temperatures in North Dakota, Minnesota, and the northern half of Minnesota. Uncertainty increases across the northern plains later into fall. Below normal precipitation is favored in the northern plains for the row crop harvest season.
Wheat production faces mixed conditions globally. World Weather Incorporated reports that in Canada, dryness across parts of the prairies is reducing yield potential, though rain this week may offer limited relief. Meanwhile, the U.S. crop looks promising in the Midwest and northern plains, despite challenges in the central plains and Pacific Northwest. Internationally, Russia and Europe are nearing the end of winter wheat harvests with less crop loss than feared. China's spring wheat is improving with periodic rain, and Australia is expecting beneficial rainfall. Overall, the global weather outlook is offering some market bearishness.
The market's weather mentality for corn and soybeans has shifted slightly as forecasts appear less threatening than they did late last week. World Weather Incorporated reporting most U.S. crop areas and key growing regions globally are now expected to see generally favorable weather patterns. While isolated problem spots remain, current conditions are easing some weather-related concerns in the grain markets.
Bell Bank is in its 11th year hosting its Ag Views Live conference. That session was in Fargo this morning and will be in Mankato tomorrow. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Don Wick has more in this update.
We spoke with Bell Bank Senior Vice President Lynn Paulson, asking him what's keeping him up at night as an ag lender.
One of the things that we're concerned about right now is that we're already seeing some lines of credit that we put together in the spring that are already maxed out, and we're already having to advance more money for a crop that is still out there. And I think the big reason for that is that, well, a lot of the crop that they had at year end that was in inventory, and we assumed a certain price, isn't there, right? It's worth a lot less, or a fair amount less than it was at the end of the year. So we're taking a look at that. We're taking a look at, like I said, the marketing plan, and, you know, do we have enough grain storage for all this stuff if we're not going to sell, right? And then we take a look at, as I mentioned, what's the cost to hold that? There's a carrying cost, right? Interest, handling it, things like that.
What do you see as the differences between the more established producer versus the younger producers who maybe haven't gone through a downturn like this?
You know, it generally comes back to debt levels, right? I mean, the older producers maybe have a little less debt on their balance sheet. So the, you know, the increase in interest rates doesn't affect them so much. They don't necessarily have that term debt or recently, you know, bought machinery and different things that they're having to, you know. There's only two ways to reduce debt: make money or sell assets, right? And if you've got a fair amount of leverage and debt out there, whatever, you've got to make some money. Where established producers, if they've got a deep balance sheet, you know, quite frankly, they can ride this out.
Virginia Tech Professor Emeritus David Cole, also on the program today. We'll have comments from Cole tomorrow morning on the Red River Farm Network. Reporting from the Bell Bank AgViews Live Conference in Fargo, I'm Don Wick on the Red River Farm Network.
Tar spot continuing to spread across the Midwest, with confirmed cases in 26 Iowa counties this growing season, according to the Crop Protection Network. Neighboring states, including Wisconsin, Illinois, Missouri, and Nebraska, are also reporting cases, along with Kansas, Indiana, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and New York. Get the latest news and weather updates anytime by listening to the Red River Farm Network podcasts. You can listen at rrfn.com and most anywhere you get your podcasts. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. U.S. grain inspections for export totaled just over 2 million metric tons in the week ending July 17th. Corn was the top commodity inspected, reaching 983,625 metric tons, followed by wheat at 732,290 metric tons, and soybeans at nearly 365,000 metric tons. Compared to the same week last year, corn inspections are down slightly, but the year-to-date totals show a sharp increase. Soybean inspections were up both weekly and year-to-date, with large shipments to Mexico, Germany, and Egypt. Wheat volumes were also strong, with a majority of hard red winter and hard red spring wheat moving through Gulf and Pacific Northwest ports.
Bauer Trading market analyst Ben Cash says the grains are trading lower this morning on weather and a lack of fresh news.
We've seen very good coverage over the weekend in the Midwest. Even up in the Canadian prairies, we've seen some rain. So, you know, we got a lot of pressure to start the week. That's even in the face of a dollar being lower. We just can't get a bid up, unfortunately, with, you know, mostly favorable, non-threatening weather. We do have some heat coming in, but it's a short bout of heat here, you know, 3 to 4 days maybe, and then got some rain on the back end of it. And that's what the traders are looking at right now, you know, mostly favorable conditions. And then some of the driest pockets out there, seen some rain over the weekend, you know, over there in Ohio, that kind of that northwest area, high yielding area for corn and soybeans, finally seen some rain, just about to pollinate there on corn. So that really helps.
Cattle markets trading higher on tight inventories and strong summer demand.
Still got a pretty firm cash market. You know, lower corn price helps that out. So we got fats up about $2, feeders up over $3 currently, and rebounding nicely. We've seen a sell-off there a little bit on Friday, but that's kind of a end-of-the-week profit-taking type deal. You know, the inventory levels are still very tight, going to remain tight. Retail demand's been resilient. We've seen some cutout values back off a little bit after the 4th of July, and that's kind of a common thing. That's kind of a seasonal tendency there. But, you know, the cash trade, until we see a significant break in prices on the cash side of things, I doubt we'll see a big break in the futures, and a lot of the breaks will probably be bought into.
The government of Bangladesh has signed a new 5-year agreement to purchase 700,000 metric tons of U.S. wheat annually. The Memorandum of Understanding with U.S. Wheat Associates was signed July 20th in Dhaka and aims to strengthen food security and trade ties with the United States. Bangladesh has historically been a price-sensitive buyer of U.S. wheat, with purchases varying year to year. This new commitment ensures consistent demand for American wheat farmers and helps address the trade imbalance between the two countries.
The U.S. ethanol industry raising concerns about unfair trade practices with Brazil. Growth Energy Senior Vice President of Regulatory Affairs Chris Bliley says Brazil continues to benefit from U.S. ethanol imports while maintaining a tariff on American products.
We've had concerns about that mainly because Brazil has a tariff on U.S. ethanol, U.S. corn ethanol going to Brazil, and we don't have the same tariff in the U.S. And so certainly the Trump administration has been very engaged on this fairness issue.
Bliley says another problem is the way Brazilian ethanol qualifies under U.S. regulations.
I think one of the other concerns we have is that Brazilian sugarcane ethanol is able to get an advanced biofuel RIN where corn starch ethanol is not. And so that's an issue that we've been working on as well. But we're pleased to see that our trade representative and others in the administration are starting to address this fairness issue. And hopefully, you know, we can return to parity between the two markets.
Canada is putting new steel import restrictions in place in response to U.S. metal tariffs. Prime Minister Mark Carney says the move is part of a broader strategy to support Canadian manufacturers and reduce reliance on the United States.
The trade actions of the United States are transforming global dynamics and supply chains. We become too dependent on the United States as our biggest customer. We must diversify our trade relationships. And above all, we must rely more on Canadian steel for Canadian projects. We have the potential to become our own best customer during this time of change.
The U.S. imposed a 50% tariff on Canadian steel and copper, citing national security concerns. But Ian Lee, a business professor at Carleton University, says the copper tariff in particular could backfire.
Demand for copper is only going to increase. There's going to be shortages. There's no good substitute for copper in these critical industries. Anything that's electronic today, it's absolutely essential, and there's very few substitutes. It's really inexplicable what Mr. Trump is doing. He's going to hurt the United States much more than anybody else.
The U.S. currently imports more than half of its copper from Canada. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture here on the Red River Farm Network. Well, this year has not just brought more storms on the ground. Space has been stormy, too. Service coordinator at the Space Weather Prediction Center, Sean Dahl, says an active year for geomagnetic storms could be affecting U.S. agriculture.
Yeah, geomagnetic storms are results from the sun interacting with Earth's magnetic barrier. And this usually happens when we have certain types of activity on the sun, such as a coronal mass ejection, or CME for short. These are explosive releases of solar material, billions of tons of it, in fact, that contains charged particles, and more importantly, a very strong magnetic field that gets dragged along with it out into space. And when that reaches here at Earth, that's when the interactions can happen that disturb our magnetic environment to the point that we can get geomagnetic storms.
Dahl says last year one of those space weather events had a major impact on crops.
Storms last year, the one in May in particular, it became apparent to me pretty quickly that the storm was much so impacting the farming industry in early May, trying to plant seeds, such as my brother-in-law in North Dakota. I got contacted on the night that the storms began saying, hey, what is going on? My GPS and my tractor is not working. I had to shut it off. And I got some more details and come to find out what was supposed to be accurate within less than an inch was off by over 12 feet.
Dahl says he hopes broadcast meteorologists can one day warn farmers during planting or harvest that a geomagnetic storm could disrupt GPS equipment.
Taking a look at the quotes for you, September wheat Minneapolis down 8 cents at 587.5. September wheat Chicago 3.25 lower, 543 even. KC hard red winter wheat's at 526 even. That's down 3 cents. September corn down a nickel and a half, 403. September soybeans down 11.75 to 1009.25. In Winnipeg, November canola's down $2.30 per metric ton to 698 Canadian. August live cattle up $1.87 to 25.40. August feeders up 407 to 328.07. August lean hogs up 77 cents at 107.30. October hogs up 32 cents, 90.95. Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 219 points at 44,561. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. This is the Red River Farm Network.